I'm doing great, although I'm feeling under a lot of pressure after that open that you just gave. So I'll see what I can do here.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We were off Wednesday because of the Red Sox game. Yesterday was all Stanley Cup talk for us. So now that the Bruins are done in hockey, is there more pressure on the Red Sox just because they are now center stage in Boston?
I think so. Through the years, I've had a lot of baseball executives say, well, thank God for that team. I mean, they're referring to the basketball team, the city's basketball team, or the NBA team, or the hockey team. So, yeah, I think now that the Bruins season is over, that they'll be more focused on the Red Sox and what's going on with them and why are they so inconsistent and, how are they going to get better? Are they going to do things before the trade deadline?
Mm. I read a story in ESPN today, Buster, by one of your colleagues about Xander Bogaerts, and we were just talking about him in the last segment here on the show. How underrated is he at this point?
Extremely, which is why I'm sure that his agent, Scott Boras, was just gnashing his teeth when he got marching orders from Xander to work out that contract extension in spring training. Because if Xander Bogaerts had hit free agency this fall at, age 26, 27, he would have killed it. He would have gotten probably, somewhere in the range of $150 to $200 million plus because he just seems to continue to grow as a player. But Xander made it very clear to Scott, from what I heard, look, this is where I want to stay, so make this deal happen. Absolutely. The fact that Xander, who put a lot of pressure on himself over time, has learned to relax. And, after a couple of years in which he had some struggles, he just seems to have settled in and now putting it all together. You do forget how young he is. And the fact that, when he made his debut back in 2013, he was, 19, 20 years old?
Buster, it was interesting in that article on ESPN.com, his brother was quoted as saying, we knew that once the contract was settled, we were going to see this kind of player. What's your experience? Kind of what's the breakdown between players who are really, really motivated by the idea of being in a contract year versus the guys who are really, really nervous about going into a contract year?
I think 75% of players prefer to have their situation settled. In other words, a contract, knowing what exactly is going to happen. Because, let's face it, probably more than any other sport, baseball players are creatures of habit. And some guys, look at a potential for free agency and they love it. Like, they can't wait to hit the market. Bryce Harper made it very clear as he was going through last year that, this is something that he wanted. CC Sabathia did that in his year. But on the other hand, like this spring when Nolan Arenado signed with the Rockies, my initial instinct was, my goodness, I'm so glad for Nolan because he's such a high-intensity type personality, and you knew that if he didn't sign before the season started that all year he'd be self-evaluating on every at-bat, feeling like every game would be sort of a referendum on how good a free agent he would be. And if you guys think I'm overstating that, I will tell you that through the years I've had so many players who are in a free agent year tell me that they'll have a great game, especially for starting pitchers, like in April or May of their free agent year, and their agent will get a call, right? Hey, what's your client thinking about a possible deal? And on the other hand, if the player has a couple of bad starts, radio silence from the team. So the players know that they're being evaluated very closely through their free agent year.
Buster, there was a podcast that came out earlier this week, on WEEI in Boston, saying Mookie Betts said he didn't necessarily like Boston much at the beginning of his career. Is there anything to read into that?
I've wondered, and I don't think Mookie would ever come out and say exactly how he feels. It doesn't make any sense strategically for him in terms of negotiating. But let's face it, the Red Sox have made it clear 1,000 different ways that they want to sign him and they want to keep him. And to this point, he hasn't entertained them. I think that they would give him all the money in the world. They would compensate him and his grandkids and his great grandkids and his great great grandkids and give him plenty of money. Yeah. And to this point, he's indicated he's not interested in talking about that. So if we got to where he was a free agent and signed with another team and he talked to somebody and said, look, it's just a place I didn't necessarily want to play, he wouldn't be the first one to say that because it's not for everybody. We just had Sonny Gray, who, by the way, Mookie grew up just outside of Nashville, made it very clear to the Yankees he didn't want to stay there. He wasn't comfortable there. For some players, playing in a big market's not their first choice.
Buster Olney of ESPN joins us every single week, usually on Wednesday, but today on Friday, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. And go see our buddy Caleb over there. Tell him that we sent you. Go see him over at Lucky's Trailer Sales, Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, the Red Sox bullpen continues to be a problem. We were seeing some trade speculation today. We were reading The Athletic. I know, not ESPN, but The Athletic, sorry. So it says the Red Sox should trade for White Sox closer Alex Colome. Do you see a potential trade matchup there?
I do. It makes sense for them to look at somebody, but I do think at some point, if you're the Red Sox, you have to make an objective evaluation on whether or not some of these resources that you might be giving up in a deal, it would be smarter to just hang on to them. You know, the acquisition cost, I think, if you're a team that's more likely to wind up as a wild card entrant into the playoffs, that to me is something that you have to evaluate very seriously. I know front offices do as well, where privately what you'll hear a lot from general managers is, look, we got a shot to go to the wild card, but we're not going to trade away, you know, high-end prospects if that's the likely road, because they know it's kind of a crapshoot. Here's the other thing. We talked about this earlier in the year. To me, the front office this year has the get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, or if they don't necessarily, you know, go all in and trade some prospects to get a Colome or Will Smith of the Giants or somebody like that, I don't think the fan base would go nuts and feel like it's an article of bad faith. They might feel like, yeah, we've been watching this team all year and it's inconsistent, and we know our farm system is thin, and this might not necessarily be the best time to give those guys up.
Yeah, and a related question to that, I mean, what are they, 2 weeks away from the halfway mark here? I mean, does it feel like everything just went perfectly for them last year and maybe they really aren't that good this year? It's just one of those years?
No, I mean, they were really good last year. I mean, shoot, to win that many games and to have that kind of success, especially when you're in the same division as the Yankees, absolutely. But I do wonder if it was a case where, you know, they're rolling the dice and everything was coming up for them in 1 year where, you know, J.D. Martinez walks in. He's the perfect guy in that time and place, giving him the power that David Ortiz had given him before. And the other players like Mookie Betts, you know, they gravitate toward him and they learn. And David Price turns out to be healthier than what we thought. And he finds an issue with his delivery in the postseason. And, you know, Chris Sale, whatever was going on with him at the end of last year, he had enough bullets to finish off the World Series. Alex Cora, first year with the team, maybe his voice resonated, thoughts resonated differently than, say, if you're in your 10th year with a team. So they were legitimately that good last year, but they're legitimately have problems this year. And as someone who's known Alex for a long time, Alex Cora, I've been impressed with the fact he's not running from it. He's not trying to pretend pretend that this is a team that's just right around the corner from having this long run. He sees all the problems that everybody sees, that they're just not playing very well. I thought that inside the park home run that Hunter Pence hit the other day was an embodiment of what you see in the Red Sox this year, where Mookie is a great player, doesn't move to back up the play, and the guy winds up circling the bases basically unchallenged.
Buster, we talk about the Red Sox on the field, but off the field was the biggest story this week, the shooting of David Ortiz. What are your memories of David Ortiz? Just we hear all the people talking about him. How good a guy is he?
Yeah, and I certainly am going to echo a lot of that. My experience with David, I loved covering David, and he was so generous with his time for me, and I'd need to grab him for SportsCenter, I need to grab him for this or for that. And he would always, he's always accommodating. And he would go through times he might be mad about something he said on air. I remember when he was really struggling, I think it was 2010, about, I was hearing from scouts, he's getting beat inside, and he just trashed me by name to the reporters in Boston, said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm actually getting beat outside. The inside's not the problem. And then the next time I saw him, he never said a word, but I think the coolest, I mean, to give you an idea of how David just seems to make everybody smile, we have a cameraman for years, my first 6 years in Sunday Night Baseball, named Duke Thorne. And David absolutely believed that Duke was a good luck charm for him, that every time Duke showed up and would be the guy who would follow him going from third base to home plate when he would hit a home run, He thought for sure he was going to hit a home run, and he would see him, and he'd give a big hug. Good to see you, buddy. Okay, here's what's going to happen when I round third base. I'm going to give a point to the sky. I'm going to point over here, and they would, like, choreograph what they were going to do. And, you know, I had David on my podcast, I think it was early this year, it was at the end of last year, and I asked him, I said, hey, what do you remember about Duke Thorne? And he went into this long thing about how great Duke is. And, I mean, this is a cameraman working for us,
right.
And he knew all about him, and that's David to me.
Before I get to the Yankees, I got to ask you off the text line. Nighthawk in Burlington says, ask Buster what he thinks about the Twins contending this year. Is that real or a mirage?
It's real. When you look at, and according to Fangraphs.com, where they give, you know, daily assessments of teams' playoff odds, the Indians' chances for winning the American League Central, and, you know, idiots like me were saying that the Indians are going to win the American League Central. The Indians' chances as of this morning are 4.8%.
Wow.
Okay? They have a huge lead, and the Indians are looking at those numbers too, and I think they're going to wind up trading Trevor Bauer and their closer Brad Hand to maximize their value. And the Twins, man, I mean, they put the ball in the air better than anybody. They hit more home runs than anybody. It's a legitimately good offense. I think that they're going to be one of the teams that's going to add bullpen help, maybe a starting pitcher before the trade deadline. I talked to Jake Odorizzi, who's been their best pitcher so far this year, leads the American League in ERA, and he talked about how in spring training, when they were looking around at the additions and looking around the offense, that the players are thinking, you know what, we got a chance to be pretty good.
Buster Olney, ESPN, joins us every week thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales in Peterbilt of Vermont. They are more than just trailer and truck sales there. Go visit them, Lucky's Trailer Sales, Peterbilt of Vermont. Moving on to the Yankees, did Domingo Germán do the Yankees a disservice? He tried to pitch through his hip injury. Now he's on the IL, and they didn't know he was hurt, and they missed out on Dallas Keuchel. If you had told him 2 weeks earlier, is Keuchel in pinstripes now?
I don't think it would have affected their approach. I mean, the bottom line is that Dallas Keuchel, I think it wasn't a case of the Yankees not making an effort to sign Keuchel. I think it was Keuchel looking at a lot of similar offers and saying, I want to pitch with the Atlanta Braves. And Alex Anthopoulos, their GM, I had him on a podcast the other day, and he told me that his first conversation with Keuchel, Keuchel told him, look, I was a huge Braves fan growing up. And, of course, who's the Braves' primary catcher? Brian McCann, who caught Keuchel in Houston. And, you know, the Braves' offer, when you look at that after taxes compared to the Yankees' offer, they're basically identical. It's separated by only a couple $100,000 after taxes. Everyone was basically in the same range, and Keuchel, I think, made his evaluation about where he felt like he had the best chance for success. And let's face it, there have been a lot of pitchers through the years, especially older guys in their 30s, who would prefer to pitch in the National League than the American League when it comes to trying to reestablish the value, which is what Keuchel's got to do the rest of the year.
So they miss out on, you know, on Keuchel, but, I mean, do you think the Yankees could possibly be in the mix for maybe a Marcus Stroman in the trade market?
100%. Yeah. And here's the good thing for the Yankees in that regard is that it seems like there are more sellers of starting pitchers than there are buyers. I mean, we've, you know, Madison Bumgarner is out there. Marcus Stroman is out there. Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays is going to be out there. Trevor Bauer. You know, I could go on and on and on. Where on the other hand, I only think there are about four or five teams that are going to be actively looking for a starting pitcher. I think more of the focus for the general managers of baseball is going to be on adding relievers. So I do think that one way or the other, the Yankees are going to get one. And Stroman makes a lot of sense because he's got a high ground ball rate, which is a great fit for Yankee Stadium. And you know, historically, that's the sort of pitcher that the Yankees work for. But you know, the Blue Jays and the Yankees, when they talk trade with the current front offices, they tend to be a slow game. If you imagine, you know, playing Scrabble or something like that, it's like two opponents are taking 20 minutes between turns.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on two kind of fun ones. Father's Day weekend, this weekend. Happy Father's Day to you. What's the best piece of advice your dad ever gave to you?
Wow. See, my stepdad is much more of an actions rather than words person.
Okay.
He's the hardest worker I've ever seen in my life. And I grew up basically with the understanding that if you weren't up and outside and working by 7 a.m., you were unworthy of being a human being. and probably having that upbringing was like the perfect way to be raised to cover baseball because it goes on all the time. And, you know, I always admired him so much, you know, for how every morning, 4:35 o'clock, you know, he would get up and about 15 minutes later I'd hear the voice through the heat duct, "Buster, time to get up." And then I'd head out to the barn. And one quick story that I heard this week about Father's Day, just if you don't, you guys don't mind, I was talking with Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, and he told me something which I hadn't heard before, you know, because I asked him to send me pictures of his son who just graduated from high school, and I asked him to send me pictures of his dad who passed away in 2017. And Dave told me that before the World Series in 2017, before they took on the Houston Astros, he went out to center field at Dodger Stadium and spread some of his dad's ashes out there and thought a lot about his dad that day. And he'll be thinking about him on Sunday.
Well, Buster, my brother is working on your podcast crew now at ESPN. He's loving it. And you've let him talk a good deal already through the first couple episodes he's been involved in. Are you ready to fire him yet? And am I still your favorite Farkas?
You know, I find it, I challenged him the other day, and I can't even, because we've had now a bunch of conversations, like, I think it was off air, or was it on air, but either way, I was like, how the heck do you have two brothers, one who winds up rooting for the Seattle Mariners, that would be you,
yes,
and of course, the other one winds up rooting for the Texas Rangers. That's weird in itself that those two teams got picked, but how do you guys wind up picking such different teams?
Well, what happens is, very quick story on that one. My dad is from Ohio. He is not an Indians fan. He is a White Sox fan because those are the games he would get on the radio growing up. We lived in Seattle. My dad worked at the Seattle Times. That's why I'm a Mariners fan, because I grew up in Seattle. Troy grew up in New York. He loved Alfonso Soriano, so when Soriano got traded from the Yankees, he ditched the Yankees and landed on Texas when he played there, and then he just kept Texas after Soriano left.
Wow. You guys are as weird as our family is. I told you that my favorite teams growing up were the Dodgers, Lakers, and Vikings. My son's favorite team growing up in New York, Charlotte Hornets, Tennessee Titans, and the Atlanta Braves. Go figure.
Well, hey, Buster only ESPN every week. Lucky's Trailer Sales, Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, happy Father's Day, and we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, all right. Buster.
There he goes, Buster only making time for us on a Friday.